don't go your way? I mean, you can either raise your hand for real or you can raise your hand in your heart. Like, how many people got, like, kicked in the teeth in 2017? Okay, yeah? And, I mean, you know what? It's only been a week of 2018, and there's been some pretty traumatic stuff that's been happening as well for people. But I want to develop resiliency. I want to be, like it says in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about some of the stuff that he has gone through as a believer, as an apostle, as a preacher of the gospel. And he's like, look, I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. And that is the kind of Christian that I want to be. I want to be somebody who can stand firmly in those promises of God and say, man, this is awful, but I know God has not abandoned me. This looks like this can never get better, yet I know that God promises that he's going to work things together for good. So is anybody interested in that? Anybody interested in becoming a more resilient Christian? Oh, good, good. All right. So I've got 5 strategies here for a resilient Christian walk. And this is not the end-all, be-all of this conversation. This is not a silver bullet. This is not like follow these 5 steps and your life will be perfect. And they're not even really listed in any particular order. They're just kind of things that they do definitely build on one another. And it might be that God really sparks one of these in your heart, and it's something that you can just kind of latch onto and go, yes, this is really where the Lord's moving in me this year. I want to address the fact that there are real problems that we face. There's trauma that we've got to overcome, but we can be victorious. We are conquerors. So that first one, and Scott talked about it last week. I mean, it is, you guys are probably going to be like, yeah, we've heard this a gazillion times. But the first one is, you've got to affirm your identity of a saint. That is so important. It is so important that you understand your status as a saint. Once you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are a saint. If there's a silver bullet in Christianity, this is it, all right? It is that transformative moment when you have Christ in your life. And all of a sudden, you are no longer separated from God. You are in God's family. You are reconciled to him. And so many of us, I know I did for years, we still walk around with this burden of, I'm not good enough. I keep blowing it here. I am doing this. I'm doing that. I mean, whatever it might be. And we just have such a hard time accepting and believing that Christ's righteousness dwells in us. I mean, that, what a gift that is. And there's an immediate exchange of Christ's righteousness for my sinfulness. And you are no longer a slave to sin. Do we still mess up? Of course. But we're not slaves to it anymore. And this is the good news of the gospel, that we've been reconciled, that we're a saint, that not only are we going to heaven, but we can actually live a victorious, resilient, amazing Christian life right now with rivers of living water flowing through us. And that gets me excited. I get passionate about that when I think about that. Man, and that's what I want. I want that abundance, right? That abundant life. So you've got to affirm your identity of a saint. So that's the first one here. And this kind of goes along with it. But the second one is we've got to have that awareness of Christ. You've got to have that awareness of Christ in you. We sing that song sometimes when you walk into a room. And it's all these things that happen when Jesus walks into a room. You know, it's like sickness starts to vanish. The dead are rising. The lame are walking. Okay, now I want you guys to kind of think about this for just a minute. Because if Jesus is like living in you and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, what that song is kind of saying is that when we walk into a room carrying Christ in us, we can affect change. Who remembers that whole "What would Jesus do?" The WWJD. Yeah, who had a bracelet? Did you have one of those bracelets? I bet you did, right? That, yeah, two. There you go. What would Jesus do? Okay, I totally dated everybody. That's all right. I liked that, but the problem with that, for me anyways, is it seemed to really remove. Are you waving to me?
No.
Oh, giving him a thumbs up. Cool, okay. Is it kind of seemed to, in my mind anyways, it kind of seemed to remove Jesus kind of from, like I'm observing from afar, what would Jesus do in this situation? Instead of realizing that I'm carrying Christ in me. I've got the mind of access to the mind of Christ. That transformative power of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit is in my life. Hey, where'd all my Sunday school kids go? Stand up, guys, stand up. Okay, do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago we had a memory verse that we were working on? Let the message of Christ, do you guys remember? Let the message of, well, say it with me. Let the message of Christ completely fill your lives. Colossians 3:16. That's right. I forgot where it was. Good. That's actually why I wanted to, you know, kind of chime in, because I forgot. Let the message of Christ completely fill your lives. That is the awareness of Christ in us. All right? When that message of Christ, that love of Christ comes in us, completely fills us, transforms us. I mean, have you ever been around somebody who's like that? Where you're just like, oh my gosh, like that love that's just coming straight off of them, you just get overpowered by it. And before we go into any situation, you know, like if you know that there's something stressful coming up, or if you know that you're going to be around people that push your buttons, if we can grasp that idea that I've got the mind of Christ, I have the promises of Christ coming through me. I actually Googled it. Wait, where's my phone go? Because I was looking for that sheet that you had given me, that Tracy had given you guys, and I couldn't find it. But there is this. There are so many promises of Christ that when we understand them, no, I don't want that. There we go. All right, let me find some of these. Man, okay. So here's some of these things that we can walk in. All right. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. How many times have you know you coming into a situation and you're like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do? Man, never happened now. Man, ask God. God, give me your wisdom. Like I am completely baffled. Like my human mind cannot possibly find a solution to this problem. Man, that's where he operates best, okay? Is when human wisdom has failed, logic is like, oh, you know, and it's like everything maybe you tried, it just is not working. And that's when God comes through with a supernatural answer. Oh, I like this one. Oh, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Now, he said this about Jesus, right? This was like Jesus fulfilled this, but this is us too with Christ in us. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners. And I find that when I start to think about difficult people in that way, you know, man, maybe God's put me in their life so that I can actually speak truth to them, that I can speak love to them, that I can speak acceptance to them. I think some of you can maybe remember a couple years ago when I just kind of had this crazy revelation of God's love for me. And I was going around like telling perfect strangers how much God loved them. I couldn't go to the grocery store without crying for people. You know, it's like I saw them in the yearning for freedom, yearning to be set free. And I can remember walking along the street and there was this guy and he had the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he was just kind of shuffling around, and oh my gosh, my heart, I didn't know him. But I went up to him and I was like, did you know that God loves you? And he was like, no, he couldn't love me. And he kept walking. And I just wanted to cry. I wanted to cry to not have that revelation. I mean, that's what we are carrying with us, people. We are carrying the invitation that God has given us, that we've accepted. We carry that invitation for people. And when we walk in that, man, that develops resilience in us. It develops a deeper love in us. We become more connected with each other and with God. All righty. Anybody here on Facebook? Raise your hands. Come on. I know you guys are. All right. Anybody here ever read the links to the Babylon Bee? Does anybody know what the Babylon Bee is? Okay, the Babylon Bee is fake news. It's like satirical news from a Christian point of view. And it's really funny. So they had this this one article just recently. It was, I got to find it because it was just so hysterical. And I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Okay, so Lifeway, which is like a huge Christian company, Lifeway releases Fitbit for tracking spiritual health. Okay, does anybody here have an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, you know? Okay, for tracking your spiritual health. Okay, now the things that it tracks are absolutely hysterical. The number of Bible pages turned. How many hands you shake in church each Sunday. How long you reflect on your sins before you take communion. Hopefully you all did that. Your heart rate during Sunday's sermon, okay, it's watching you. Like if you close your eyes, how long your hands are folded in prayer each day, how vigorously you wave your hands around like a palm tree in a hurricane during the worship set. Okay, I was back there. I was doing it. Altruistic activities, number of tracts passed out each day, number of words typed arguing with atheists on the internet. Because a Facebook argument, you know, that's the best way to share the love of Christ with people. Okay, but that brings me to my third strategy, and that's to accept your path of good works. Okay, now hold on a second. Now, that is not any of those things that I listed from that the Fitbit tracker is looking after, okay? Just so you know. So you might look at that and be like, good works? Like, what do you mean? Like, good works? Okay, we're not saved by good works. Everybody gets that, right? Okay, it is Christ's gift freely given to us that saves us. All right, that is the free gift of God. And, you know, for the longest time, man, I think I'm so thankful that I grew up in church, in faith, with God. But there definitely were some mindsets that I kind of had to push to the side about good works. Because I did, like mentally, I kept this list of, okay, how much time have I spent in prayer? How many chapters of my Bible have I read this week? And I got really quite condemning of myself because I wasn't measuring up to the standards that I thought that God had for me. And I can, you know, you can read, oh, without good works, faith is dead. And you can read these things where, it can seem like how my acceptance in Christ is kind of based on how good I'm doing spiritually. But I think those good works that God is talking about, one of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And these good works that he's prepared us to do, again, they're not those Fitbit stuff. What they are is those good works that God has prepared us to do is once we start understanding our gifts and our calling and the things that God has put in us that we want to do, that bless the body, that are the works of building up the church and of loving people into the kingdom. When we start stepping out in those works, man, that is where we really, we stop beating ourselves up. We start getting a lot of joy and satisfaction because we're actually walking in the things that God has called us to do. Man, is reading your Bible important? Of course. Is praying important? Of course. But when we start to list those things as being like tracking our spiritual progress, it's like that's not what God intended those things to do. But when we start walking in those things, those areas, those places where those things that God has prepared for us. And I know you guys, okay? I've heard some of the things that God has for you. And they're exciting. That's where prophecy can especially be helpful, as you can get around people with real prophetic giftings who can see the spiritual realm. And they lay hands on you and they pray. And they get visions. They get words for you that are personal, that are unlocking some of that potential that God has for you. So if you haven't ever had that experience, man, I would highly suggest finding some, we've got some pretty prophetic people in this church, and having them come around you, man, and just praying for you, asking God to release you into your destiny, into those good works that God has for you. I love the poster we've got over on the wall there. Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us, man. We're the sons and the daughters of God. And we've got a world out there that is waiting. It is groaning, wanting to be set free, wanting to be delivered, wanting to have the chaos conquered by our good works that we walk forward in. And as we accept that path, as we, man, we embrace it, it works something in us. We've got purpose. Even when things look like they're like not panning out, or, you know, okay, Scott and I, we were just talking about this a couple of nights ago. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up, just FYI. And, you know, and so we talked for like 2 hours, and I was just like, but we were talking about, you know, like mistakes that we've made and things where it's like, gosh, there was, we thought this was such a clear path. And then we got there and we were like, oh man, this wasn't it. And we were talking about how we've got this kind of weird view of like the will of God. Like it's this tiny little narrow path. And if we deviate one little bit or make a mistake, it's over. And that's just not what the Christian life is about. And I'm not saying that like, obviously there is truth, okay? Like, I get it. There is one truth. But there is like this, you know, it's like we've got a destination. We've got a trajectory. And Scott and I could honestly say, you know, even though we made mistakes, even though we did dumb stuff, even though we blew it here and we blew it there, it was like our trajectory was always pointed at eternity and always pointed at expanding the kingdom of God. And so God was faithful to keep us, you know, even though we were like, you know, kind of going this way, you know, it was like we were still going in that direction. And when we, man, when we walk in those good works that God has prepared for us, it's like there is just such, there can be such a peace when we go through the junk of life, because we have an all around purpose that's still not going to be thwarted. You know what I mean? Like we're still, our trajectory is still going in that direction. And the stuff that happens along the way, it doesn't bump us off. It like pushes us forward as we walk in those good works. I don't know, is that making sense? You guys are kind of hard to read this morning. All right. I'm almost done here. Number four. All right, we have got to, you have got to align your emotions with the truth. All right? Man, okay, I'm not as emotional as Scott, but I'm pretty emotional. He's like rolling his eyes back there, okay. Now, I'm pretty emotional. And I guess for the longest time, I really saw emotions as, I can't even think of the word now, as like a burden or like something that, like I had to overcome my emotions. Like they were a liability, that's the word. My emotions were a liability. And then I realized, no, actually God created me with emotions. Jesus had emotions, okay? He was not just walking through life as a robot with no feeling. Man, he had compassion on people. He would weep. I know he laughed. I know he laughed. I know he experienced joy. He had this full range of emotions. So there is nothing wrong with our emotions. There's nothing inherently bad or sinful or fleshly or soulish or whatever. But we've got to understand that our emotions don't always accurately reflect reality. Because we filter things through our past experiences. I think I must have been 16, 17 years old. I was giving like a group report with a bunch of people in front of my English class, and I was like the last one to go. And I remember just standing there, and like all these people were looking at me. You know, people fear public speaking more than they fear death. Okay, that was me. Okay, so it came to my turn. I think we had to do some report on Catcher in the Rye, which is a terrible book, but anyway. And I was like, the symbolism of this novel is donk, and I literally passed out. Okay, I literally fainted. The person next to me had to catch me, okay? So now I could, every time now when I stand up to speak in front of people, like that scenario runs through my head. And I think, okay, where's Scott? Is this the day that I'm going to faint again? All right, so there, you know, it's like, it was stressful. It was kind of, ooh, I was afraid. But I had that past experience, and it's burned into my skull. But I can't let that color every single time I stand up in front of people to speak. I mean, you guys would be entertained, but it wouldn't be very helpful. So you've got to align your emotions with the truth. You know, when we've got those situations that bring fear, I mean, I'll admit, fear is probably one of the bigger things that really grabs a hold of me and paralyzes me. And I can let that emotional fear and anxiety, I can really let it ruin everything, honestly. And I've realized, you know, that we filter stuff through past experiences. I can let those past experiences like dictate everything going forward. I can do that. Or I can choose to rewire my brain by taking my thoughts captive. This is a life-changing revelation for me. That when I get into a situation and I feel fear or anxiety, or I'm just going to say fear and anxiety because those are the ones that really come at me, I can stop and I can just say, hold on. Like I recognize now, man, when fear and anxiety, when they grab a hold of me and I get that feeling, you know, in that pit of your stomach where you just feel like everything's dropped out. And I can go, hold on a second. I am like wearing these glasses, I'm looking at reality through these glasses of fear and anxiety, and it's not based on reality. It's not based on a good God. It's not based on any of the amazing promises that he has for me, that he's never going to leave me. That's a big one. I'm going to be alone. Okay, he's never going to leave me. Or I don't know. There's so many lies that we believe. David in the Psalms, if you read David, he says, "Oh my soul, why are you cast down?" It's like my mind knows, why am I feeling this way? Like, why am I letting my emotions control me? And he goes on, David goes on, often when he's in those times of emotional turmoil, man, he worships God. I mean, this morning I was just in the back and it was just like worship, just like washing over me. There is something about either individual worship, but also especially corporate worship that lifts our emotions, man, it aligns our emotions. The truth of who God is, who we are, what he can do in our lives, and it builds me up. It strengthens me. It helps get me kind of back into a good frame of mind and a good place in my heart. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why Paul encourages us. I'm pretty sure it's Paul, maybe it's Peter. You know, man, don't neglect gathering together with the body of Christ. Because as we do that, as we corporately worship the Lord, man, there is something that is so emotionally, it's like this balm just coming over our emotions, you know? Being thankful, that's another one that really switches my emotions, because I can get quite focused on all the things that I think that are wrong or that are lacking, you know? But when I really start to meditate on the amazing things that God has done in the past and the good things that he's given me right now, it gives me that hope for the future that it's going to be good. All right, last one. Allow people with perspective to speak into your life. We talk about like the mountain experiences and the valley experiences, right? And that's just kind of how life is, right? We've got these amazing times of real intimacy with God. And then we've got other times where we just feel like, man, everything's not so good. I'm alone. That is the time when you can gather, again, this is why we gather together, where you can rely on the people around you who are maybe they're at that mountaintop and they've got a better perspective than you. You're down in the valley, man. I'm down in the valley. I can't see anything. It's foggy. You know, it's like it's dense with these trees and I can't see anything. And there's somebody on the mountaintop that has perspective and it can encourage you. Man, God's good. It's going to be okay. And sometimes that's all we can tell somebody. It's going to be okay. God is with you. We've got to allow people who are at that mountaintop. When we're in the valley, we've got to allow the people that are on the mountaintop to speak words of encouragement to us, to speak truth to us, to develop resilience. Alrighty. So those are basically my five strategies here for a resilient Christian walk: to affirm your identity as a saint, to be aware of Christ in you, to accept your path of good works, align your emotions with the truth, and to allow people with perspective to speak into your life.
Amen. Amen. I want to say something just my wife and this message, and that has to be understood, is that this isn't something quaint that Jabron had just sort of like, I talked to her on Thursday and was like, hey, do you want to preach? And she's like, oh, I better pull something out of my hat, you know, and sort of figure it out. These are principles that Jabron lives by. And I've been around a lot of Christian people for a lot of years. And my wife is stable. And I'll tell you what, these principles, they are not innate to her. They are not natural to her personality. They are things that she has intentionally said, you know what, I see these things as lining up with the nature of God and with biblical principles. And as she's walked in them, it has created a very, like, she talks me off the ledge with these things all the time. Now, if you're the type of person that gets on the ledge every now and then, okay, I know who you are. You know, it's like these things, they're principles that have to be disciplined, if you will. They're choices that you have to make to put these into your life. But I'll tell you what, they are true and they work. So we're just going to seal these with a bit of worship. I think today, my wife and I, we're just going to sit back there. We just want to pray for you. If you just want some prayer around these areas, if you get it and you're like, man, I'm good to go, Scott, I'm going to slap this up on the website so it's all going to be there. But if you just want to get a little bit of prayer around this, let us pray for you. Amen. Let's just seal this in our hearts because God wants you to live stable. Life is going to be tough. Things are going to be hard, but God is good and he wants you to have that stability. Amen. Bless you. Don't forget today, we're not having lunch as we usually do, chilling out. You're going to the lake. You're going to go be a duck and get in the rain and have a good time and go home and bundle up and watch It's a Wonderful Life or whatever it is, but you're going to enjoy some fellowship with people around you. Amen. God bless you.